Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Well, there were some concerning numbers coming out of the Ministry of Manpower's labor report for Q1 recently. Well, this is Career 360 on Money FM 89.3, which looks at the manpower sector here. Now, it seems a bulk of residents retrenched in Q1 were PMETs, and PMETs will continue to bear the brunt as the unemployment outlook here worsens.
Close to 70% of retrenched residents were PMETs, as they form a higher share of the workforce and were more prone to such job losses. Let's find out from our guest why, though. Adrian Chu is founder and CEO of Career Agility International, and he talks us through it. Adrian, thanks for coming. What do you think were the causes for this?
Well, I think there are four causes for this, basically. I think one of the things is we are experiencing an economic downturn right now. In fact, next quarter, we are talking about possibly going into a technical recession. So that's one thing. So the market numbers aren't good. So definitely there'll be more retrenchments coming down the road. But we're also seeing disruption. Technology is coming in, replacing jobs, AI technology and everything. So that's going to hit. But one of the other things, especially for PMETs, is that we are seeing a large number of them not having the relevant skills needed for today's market.
Mm-hmm.
So we are seeing redundancies because skills are not up to date. But the biggest elephant in the room, I guess, is the fourth, which is foreign talent.
Mm.
So especially if you look into the report itself, we have issues where they do mention that the PMETs have troubles finding jobs even after they leave. So by and large, it's because of the saturation of foreign talent as well within the market.
Even with the DRC being lowered?
Yeah.
Or raised.
So DRC being the direct reentry.
No, the dependency ratio.
Mm. Oh, yes, correct. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we are seeing because by and large, it takes a bit of time to move the needle on this particular number itself.
Mm. So some of these factors you mentioned are causing their unemployment outlook to kind of worsen. So do you think that PMETs will continue to bear the brunt?
Yes, I think they are definitely.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's scary. It's an at-risk group. But if you look at the numbers a bit more, if you analyze it a lot deeper, you will see that the above 40 group of those that were retrenched, they form 73.3%, which is not insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
So we are seeing both.
That's you and me, Bern.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all of us. Mm-hmm. So and this particular group is vulnerable. Because here they are at above 40s, you know, and it's scary because these guys, they have families to feed, they have mortgages to pay. So it is tricky, and as we see, the government is trying very hard to address this as well, but it's a problem that's not going away.
Beyond age though, Adrian, are you able to further profile these PMETs retrenched?
Yeah, by and large, we are seeing people who are in at-risk industries as well. So at-risk industries would include those in oil and gas. And there are other issues as well. Like for instance, at industries that are at risk of disintermediation or disruption, like for instance, banking. So we are seeing, for instance, certain areas within banking itself, like branch management and where there's a decline for particular skill sets or job requirements. So we're going to see continual redundancies in that area as well.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what can PMETs do to kind of get rehired?
Well, I think...
might be a long answer, right, Adrian?
Yeah, I mean, it's but let's look at the numbers itself.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
We did some analysis earlier on. And if you look at the re-employment rate of, which is what the MOM, when they did the numbers, they look at a re-employment rate, which is defined as the number of those who are finding jobs after they've been retrenched within 6 months.
Mm.
The re-employment rate numbers are not very promising. Because you're looking at, even those in their 40s, 7 out of 10 do find a job within 6 months,
mm-hmm.
which also means that 3 out of 10 don't. The other question you'd ask is, what sort of jobs?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That could be driving a taxi.
Yeah.
Is that a job?
Yep.
We're facing an issue of underemployment. But what's even more worrying, if you look at the unemployment data again, those above 50s, the re-employment numbers drop right down to 54%.
Wow.
Which is 1 in 2. So if you're above 50s...
So half won't be able to.
Yeah.
Almost,
and,
yeah.
And it's worrying because what are the reasons for this? Is it because of age discrimination? We don't know.
It could be like you said earlier, the skills don't match, the jobs available.
That's right. So give you an example. So our company... We help people who are at their career crossroads, and we also help people who have been retrenched as well. So some of these people, they come in with skill sets that are really, really out of date, and it's worrying. For instance, we spoke to this lady who was with a bank in the IT department, and she handled legacy systems. And one of her core skills, when we asked her, what's your core skill? And she said, I can program in COBOL. And
COBOL, you're talking to the tech spaz. I'm not sure what that means, but I assume it's COBOL is rather archaic.
It's a 1980s language with Unix, old-time systems.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I can fix typewriters.
Right.
Scary.
As a comparison, Adrian, what can PMETs do to get rehired or prevent themselves from being retrenched? We're thinking it might be one in the same thing, as in get those skills up to scratch, right?
Yeah, but even beyond skills, I think one of the things you need to look at is the best time to fix your roof is when it's not raining. So the best time...
So what a nice analogy.
So the best time to start looking out at your own career, to have a look at where your shortfalls are, where your gaps are, is when you still have your job. And one of the things we always advise our clients is do not be complacent. Nobody's job is guaranteed anymore. Even in the civil service, no job's guaranteed anymore. In fact, there's no such thing as employer loyalty anymore. Mm-hmm. So run with the thought in your head that you could be retrenched anytime.
But I thought that iron rice bowl mentality went out decades ago.
You would imagine,
you would
right?
think.
But
okay.
When I was a headhunter and I would call people up and say, hey, are you keen on this particular role with a competitor? And they go, no, I'm very happy where I am. Don't call me anymore, please. And, you know, they hang up on me, and within 3 months they call me up, hey, Adrian, is the job still open? So even though, and you're absolutely right, you would imagine that they would be more versatile, more agile, but they're not. In fact, we do handle retrenchment cases, and we do go down to our clients' offices on the day where they're retrenching stuff. And one of the things that we see is people, there was this manager who was in a total state of shock, and she said, I can't believe I'm being retrenched. And I said, really? Your company has been retrenching for the past 3 months. Industry has been retrenching. You have been letting your staff go. And right now you're telling me you did not see this coming.
Yeah, those are not so subtle signs.
Yeah, it is.
We might ask you for some subtle signs later, but that sounds pretty obvious.
Correct, yeah. But the writing's on the wall. So one thing we always tell people is don't get complacent. Understand your job's at risk and understand where the gaps are. In fact, at any one point in time, you have to figure out who are the three companies that would hire you if you lost your job today? And in what positions are those in? And how do they know me? There's a whole central strategy around what we call career agility, which is what the company is named after. So you must have that agility. In fact, from our experience, what we're seeing is that because we have seen the exits of hundreds of employees who have been retrenched. There are two broad groups of people. One of the groups we see is people who get retrenched and they get a job very quickly, within 3 months.
Because?
Yeah. And the other group is those that take a long time. And the first group, like what you said, they do practice a certain degree of career agility in the sense that they know their networks, they know their worth, they know their value, they know their skills up to date, and they know how to play the game. But the other guys take a long time to recover, 6 months, 9 months, and often end up underemployed. And underemployed means to be in a role that's not up to your level of your qualifications or training.
Okay, maybe you can comment a little bit about this. Sometimes the higher position you are, when you get retrenched, you probably take a longer time to find a job.
Yes, correct. So what we tell people is it takes anywhere between 3 months to 9 months to learn something. And it sometimes takes a bit longer if you want to be choosier. So the higher you are, the harder it falls. Because it's just, if you're at the apex, there are not many openings available.
Yes. Any subtle signs that you can share where you know that you're about to be retrenched?
Because we heard about the very obvious signs.
Okay. Well, one of the things you can see, especially if your industry is being disrupted, then yes, if you're in the hotels and suddenly you see that Airbnb is coming in and taking a huge chunk and your industry is at risk, that's one thing. If your organization starts sending out little signals like, hey, let's start cutting costs. Let's cut down what's available in the pantry. All the little tiny things. Instead of going for a D&D at a 5-star hotel, let's do a 3-star instead. Or, hey, why not we just throw an office party? Right. So these are advanced warnings. that you can pick up. The not so advanced warnings is like when you are near the exit date. You know, if you suddenly see yourself being excluded from discussions.
Not included in meetings and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, correct. Okay. And then these are some of the warning signs. Okay. The other warning sign as well is if you are, if suddenly there are changes. Normally, one of the biggest telling signs we can always say is if there's a new CEO that comes in. A new CEO comes in on a global level, a new broom sweeps clean, right?
Sure.
Yeah, so they're going to clean it up. So you got to watch out when that happens, because normally they're going to be downsizing, streamlining, or whatever nice words they can call it. Mm. So you have to be able to read the tea leaves, you have to read the signs, and that is part of the agility bit. So it's not just about yourself knowing what you can do and where you can go, but being able to be sensitive to what's happening. And the best thing is, the best case scenario is you do get a package to get retrenched. You get retrenched, you get a package, you exit, and you get a job within 3 months. Mm. And we have seen a lot of successful people do this, but they have been very agile. And it's amazing because these guys are best case scenarios. Oh, beautiful.
I think we're going to ask you this rather broad question next time we see you, as in how PMETs can future-proof their careers, because that really sounds like there are a lot of things one can do.
Oh, lots of it, yeah.
You did talk about knowing your network, knowing the people around you, knowing your skill level, being aware, really. Is it too late to start?
It's never too late to start. In fact, it's...
How quickly can one get up to speed, let's say? So I'll be honest, I've done nothing in the last 20 years, but just do my job.
But Howie, you have a particular set of skills, like Liam Neeson. You have a particular set of skills.
I'm not going to go around killing people, though, Adrian. Let's not say that.
Yeah, but you have skills that are transferable. So you need to have... you need to be able to be aware of what your skills are, who's going to buy them, and more importantly, you must be able to articulate those skills to the market. So a lot of people can't.
By
so,
way of a resume or what exactly?
Through
several avenues.
Professional branding, through networking, lots of things. That's why there's a lot of things to unpack here, actually. And that's exactly what my organization does. So to answer your question, it does take a long time to run up to speed, to get up to speed in terms of bringing your career agility level up to a certain point where you can be confident to say, okay, I know what's going to happen if something bad happens to me. I know what to do. One of the quickest ways is to get a coach, a career coach. And a career coach is able to tell you, to give you some tough love on where your blind spots are, how you're going to handle it. And, you know, and if you are in an industry that's dying, it's time to move.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Sounds good. Adrian Chu, you will be back with us on Thursday again next week. So Adrian Chu, CEO and founder of Career Agility International. He joins us every Thursday on Career 360 to talk us through issues pertaining to the manpower sector here in Singapore. You can find him at careeragility.org. That's career, A-G-I-L-I. ity.org. Adrian, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.